146 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN Dan Mandis Show. Glad to welcome into the program Judith Regan. And boy, oh boy, are you busy today. I appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time to speak to us here in Nashville, Tennessee. Judith, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So let's talk a little bit about this interview 12 years ago. And a lot of people are clearly focused on this interview that you did with O.J. Simpson. A lot of people are saying, well, this was clearly a confession. Other people, not so much. I would just say the whole thing was bizarre. When you carried out this interview 12 years ago, and a lot of people have, of course, seen it because it is all over the internet today, do you really believe that this was O.J. Simpson's confession?
I absolutely do. If you watch the special, he hangs himself on every word. He tried to do it as a hypothetical, but he couldn't help himself, and so he slips over and over again. Yeah, I remember leaving the glove. I do remember the knife. He remembers the bloody clothes. He gets very personal, and he goes from, well, if it had happened, this is how I think it would have happened, right into I remember.
Yes.
And it becomes very personal. There was an FBI profiler there. And I've since had calls from psychologists and other people who work in law enforcement who say to me, although it may seem bizarre, this is in fact how interrogations are done in the CIA by the FBI. I had a note today from a NCIS interrogator who interrogated Al-Qaeda terrorists who said to me, the way you handled him is exactly how we train people to handle terrorists when they're trying to get information from them. And I think, by not sitting in judgment, by not pushing him, he hung himself over and over and over again. He curses her. Why didn't you listen to me? Now look what you've done. What you've done? No, OJ, what you've done.
Now, you're talking about the reaction to the interview from folks that have done interviews with Al-Qaeda and so forth. How did you prepare for this interview with OJ? Was it your desire to try and get him to hang himself, if you will?
Well, I prepared with the night before somebody from the CIA who basically taught me how to talk to him, what my demeanor should be, how I should look at him, what we should talk about, how to put him at ease, because he's a malignant narcissist and a psychopath. And once he was comfortable, he started speaking more freely about the situation. And, it was very chilling for me. I did try to get him to talk about the night of the murders. I didn't know what he was going to say. I knew what he had written about in the book because I had the manuscript, but I didn't know which direction he would go in. I had no idea what he would do and what he would say. And I was quite shocked by some of the things that came out of his mouth.
One of the things I would ask is, how did you, and again, this interview was filmed or taped 12 years ago, just aired last night. How did you bag this interview? I mean, this is obviously probably, I would say, one of the best gets, you will, as we say in the business, as far as interviews go. How did you end up getting the interview with OJ?
I was the publisher of the book that was canceled, and he was going to sit down and do an interview with respect to promoting his book. He thought he was going to promote his book, where he reveals a lot of these things as well. But he revealed a lot more in the interview. And when you see him talking, it was incredibly riveting, because I knew once he sat down to do the interview, he could never hide behind that, because that was him on full display. He couldn't have deniability once he said it.
Yeah, I think once you get comfortable, if you're somebody who is being interviewed by someone, once you get comfortable, you almost forget about the camera. And it seems to me, I was watching it, it seemed that the more comfortable OJ got, the more guilty he seemed.
I know, because he got comfortable, basically. And you got to see the real guy. And the real guy is a batterer and a murderer. The way he talked about Nicole, she hit me. In every instance, he's the victim. She did this to me. She did that to me. Even after he kills her, he's such a psychopath. He says, Nicole and Ron killed me.
Yeah.
That's how he perceives it. He thinks he's the one that was damaged. He's angry at her. He's angry at her after he kills her. He even says, I thought, you know, when she died, I would feel better, but the anger was still there. He goes to her gravesite and curses her. Didn't I say to you? Didn't I tell you? And then he talks about the frustration he feels because he's never going to be able to change her. That is textbook manipulative, controlling batterer. That is how these men who batter women think and feel. And we had a glimpse inside the mind of your basic average guy who batters women, only in this case, he killed her.
Now, why do you think Judith Regan joins us? She did the interview with O.J. Simpson 12 years ago, just aired last night. Why do you think he did the interview? I do understand that he was promoting the book and so forth, but do you think that he went into the interview hoping to exonerate himself in the eyes of the public, in the court of public opinion?
You know, I'm not sure he thinks in a rational way like that. I think he's a very emotional guy. I think he, as you could see, he was simmering. He has a quick switch. He gets angry pretty quickly. I'm not sure he thinks things through like that. I don't know why he sat for the interview. I don't know why he decided to do the book. I didn't call him. His lawyer called me. I didn't chase after him. They called me. It is chilling. I mean, you know, I have my own theories about it. He likes the attention. He's very manipulative. He thought he could get away with confessing by claiming he was going to do it hypothetically. And then he really didn't do a very good job of that, did he? Because once he sat down and felt comfortable, he gave himself away over and over again.
Do you think this is a guy now where, I mean, clearly many, many years after the killings, and this is 12 years after your interview, do you think that, did he have remorse at the time
No.
of the interview, and do you think maybe he has some remorse now?
No. The only remorse he has is, as he will say, this whole experience ruined his life. He has no remorse for what he did. Zero. And, you know, look, frontal lobe damage causes a lack of empathy sometimes. Maybe his years in football, you know, maybe he suffers from some kind of traumatic brain injury. And I'm not saying this to excuse his behavior.
Sure.
But his behavior would indicate the rage that he felt, the need to control her, this kind of maniacal, manipulative, controlling behavior. And the way he conducted himself in the interview, which seemed to me to demonstrate a psychopathic, non-empathic man who takes zero responsibility for anything that he ever did, blames her for everything, and has almost a thought process disorder. It was so alarming to see how little regard he has for anyone else but himself.
Well, the sad thing about this, Judith, is that today there are millions of people who still look at O.J. Simpson almost like a folk hero. Is there a part of you that hopes that, maybe a big part, maybe all of you, hopes that this interview where he clearly looks guilty, and at least to me, it clearly does confess to this, the murder of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, do you think that this interview will bring to the forefront the fact that clearly this guy is guilty and people will stop wanting to pose with him for selfies in restaurants in Las Vegas and Florida?
You know, I hope so, because he is not a hero. He's a murderer. And although there have been many injustices throughout American history, Rodney King and others, and although I fully understand the anger and frustration of the African-American community with respect to some of the abuses of law enforcement in the past, doing this and turning him into a hero is not the way to deal with that issue. Two wrongs don't make a right, and it was wrong to let him get away with murder, and it's wrong to make him a hero. And I hope that by watching this interview, people see the man he really is, and people have a greater understanding of the face of a textbook abuser.
What do you think, folks? There's a lot of folks that maybe have not seen this interview. And if somebody doesn't necessarily care about the O.J. Simpson case, and this was a long time ago, why should somebody watch this interview? It's obviously online everywhere.
I think that they should watch it to see what a guy who is a textbook abuser looks like, sounds like, and acts like. You know, he describes his, the way he describes his relationship with his ex-wife, how he stalked her, how he terrorized it, how he excuses that behavior. He's very, in fact, run-of-the-mill in terms of being, you know, an abuser.
Were you happy? You must have been thrilled that this story, this interview, finally was unearthed after 12 years because of everything that you just mentioned, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if happy is the word, because it made me very sad. The whole thing makes me incredibly sad. I find it amazingly depressing and horrifying. And I also think that people should never forget the victims, Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown, and the children who were left behind without a mother, who grew up without their mother, who had to be raised by him. There are a lot of victims in this story, and there are a lot of people who had their hearts broken. And, you know, this is an issue in terms of domestic violence. It's an issue that doesn't go away. 10 million people a year are assaulted and are victims of domestic violence. I think that law enforcement has become more enlightened in the last 20 or 30 years. I myself had gone through this in the 70s. I was assaulted. I was stalked. I was terrorized by a man who was educated, Harvard psychiatrist, handsome, you know, amazing, brilliant. He had taken up boxing in his case, and after a few blows to the head, his behavior changed. He became very violent. He started assaulting me.
Yeah.
He stalked me. And I went through a very similar thing, and blaming me for everything. And the, you know, this kind of behavior used to be met with things like, you must have done something to provoke him. What did you do to get him so angry? I'm 5 feet four, and at the time I was about 110, 115 pounds. He was 6'4", 250, and that's what police officers would say to me when I would call them. And I listen to the tapes of Nicole, and I hear the fear in her voice, and it is so heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching for me to listen to that. And interviewing him, just for me personally, was traumatic. Revisiting it was traumatic. And heartbreaking for the Goldman family, for the Brown family, for the children of O.J. Simpson, for all the people he let down and disappointed. And I hope that at least it gives somebody somewhere some awareness of the face of domestic violence and how serious it is and how seriously it needs to be taken.
And Judith, I know that we are rapidly running out of time. Very quickly, Fred Goldman originally was against this interview. Now he's come out and said that he's glad that the interview was released because he wants the American people to see for themselves. Do you know if he watched it, and has there been any reaction from the Goldman family?
You know, I haven't heard anything. I know that he had expressed to Fox that he was in support of the project, and I was happy to hear that. And, you know, I hope they have a positive response to it, and I hope, you know, whoever thought that O.J. Simpson was innocent has a change of heart.
All right, and Judith Regan Talks is a new podcast that is coming soon to Westwood One Radio Networks. And in 20, 25 seconds or less, can you describe, I'm sure you're going to be talking about this story and many others. What is the podcast about?
I'm just going to interview, you know, authors, opinion makers. I'm going to tackle topical events and news and ideas and opposing points of view and tell great human stories. And I really just want to get to the heart of the matter, no matter what the matter is.
And Judith, thank you very much. You have a great afternoon. It's 2:01 on WTN.